The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. Have you rated the show yet? Because we need it to fight this algorithm battle. We're fighting the globalists on the algorithms. If you think we've earned 5 stars, I certainly would appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, the website is macroaggressions.io. It's the best place to go for anything surrounding the show. Hey, did you know that The Octopus of Global Control is now available as an audiobook? Yes, finally, after 7 years, it's 23 hours long. So you're definitely going to get your money's worth. And if you are interested, you can go to Amazon or Audible, iTunes, Spotify. It's available wherever audiobooks are sold. So check it out. And big thanks to our sponsors. They make the show happen. Chemical Free Body's been with me from the beginning. I drink Grain 85 every single morning. It is really easy. It's more a decision that you have to make of, are you going to get yourself healthy? And if you are, then consider going to chemicalfreebody.com and taking a look at what they have. Look at the detox bundle. Check out Pat Milicic's Super Soldier formula, UFC Hall of Famer. So you can see what Tim is doing over there. He's a mad scientist, but I'll tell you what, he's keeping the chemicals out of his products. And he's obsessed with that. I appreciate it. And he's selling supplements that actually work. And I appreciate that. And you'd think that everyone that was in the industry would be, but you would be wrong, of course. So go to chemicalfreebody.com. And if you find something you like, the discount code on your way out is macro. And also thanks to the Metters over at Privacy Academy, the father-son duo. I tell you what, if you're like me and you're kind of like a little bit scared of technology and you're not totally sure how to make yourself, you know, a little bit less susceptible to hacks and scamming and people digging through your information and getting into your email, you know, all that stuff, everything that can be done with, you know, Vault 7 that we discovered what the CIA is doing. Privacy Academy has a program that can walk you through step by step, real easy for people even like me that are scared of technology. They can walk you through and you'll take, you'll just do one item at a time, right? Do it, get it done, understand how it works, then move on to the next one. They're not going to overwhelm you. They promise you that they are not going to overwhelm you. in this program, this class that you can sign up for, but it's going to be super valuable, especially going forward. So maybe consider taking the class and then sharing the information with your friends and family close to you, and maybe help get them, just as secure as we can. We're living in a digital world. We don't know what the capabilities are of all the bad guys out there. But I'll tell you what, go through the Privacy Academy class and see what you think. If you want to connect with them, you can do so through my website, macroaggressions.io. I have a partners page. If you click on that, you'll see all the sponsors, all the links to all their stuff. So you can find Privacy Academy there. Or you can just scroll down to the show notes of this episode and you'll find the link there. Actually, I think you'll find it in all of the show notes for all of the episodes going forward because they're part of one of the sponsors. So check it out. Privacy Academy is a good place to go to, get yourself buttoned up on a technological sense. Let's talk about something that is, I've been noticing this for a while now and it's not great, but it is reality. And so this isn't going to be like happy, happy, fun episode where we talk about unicorns and rainbows and sprinkles and all that stuff. No, we're going to be talking about the history of the sterilization programs that have been going on throughout the world. I know you're like, holy shit, like, god damn, you're going to drop that on me on a Wednesday morning or whatever. Look, it's a real thing. Okay. And it's so diabolical. And once we kind of list off the groups that are involved and have been involved in this, you'll see a lot of the names that you probably expect, maybe some that you don't. But this has been going on for a long time. There is a there are these intertwined themes, ideologies that the globalist elite, I don't know, whatever we want to call them, they think they're elite. What these intergenerational bloodline banking families and people that are at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, the way they view the world, right? And we've talked openly about this quite a bit, that they want a world government. That's not really a secret. It's only a secret to the extent that you choose not to look for it. But if you listen to George H.W. Bush, he would have told you what the secret was back in 1988 when he was in 89 and 90 and 91 and 92. And he was doing all the speeches about new world order and we got to have a new world order and all that stuff. And you go, well, these people are, they really want to create a world government? Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no secret about that. It's just a matter of how they're going to do it, but the co-conspirator, the concept that's riding shotgun in all of this, maybe even literally shotgun in all of this, is depopulation, right? And it's part of this mix. We want to create a world government so that we can control all the people in the world, but in order to do so, it's a lot easier for us if there are fewer people in the world to control as well. So while we're in the process of figuring out how to control the world, how to take over the world and build this world government or governance or however you want to look at it, let's also make sure that we kill everybody too, right? Just to make sure, especially the poor people, especially people in countries that we deem to be irrelevant, except for the fact that they have resources and we like the resources, we don't like the people. If we could have human robots, that would be fine. So maybe we won't kill everybody in these countries because, I mean, who's going to dig the uranium mines, right? Who's going to get in there and pull buckets of cobalt out? You know what I mean? We need human robots for that. And so we can't kill everybody, but let's definitely do this. Let's manage the population. Let's manage the population. You know, like we're on a farm. And that is the mentality that these people have taken towards this. And so, you know, population's always been a focus of the super wealthy, and they are happy to provide humanity with multiple different ways to depopulate themselves. I mean, just take a look around. There's plenty of ways that you can remove yourself from this planet. We could talk about doing it slowly, or you could do it quickly, right? Slow version, drugs, like illegal drugs, vaccines, famine, low fertility rates. Those are slow kill, right? You can murder millions and millions of people with famine, but it takes a little while, right? You have to set up the proper infrastructure to make sure that the food doesn't get in or get out or wherever. And then you need time, right? And so if you have enough time, then you can starve people out. And that's a slow kill method, and that works. And you can get people injected with a million different vaccines, and that'll soften them up from the inside, weaken them physically so that they're, first of all, always dependent on the pharmaceutical industry, which is, of course, always part of the point, right? While we're in the process of depopulating this planet, let's make everybody sick first, and then let's make money off of them while they're sick, and then eventually we'll kill them, right? So you can do it slowly like that. You can do it quickly. You can have wars. That's real fast, right? You can have an economic collapse. You'd be surprised how fast people die in an economic collapse. I mean, you think it's like, oh, I'll hold out and just live here and eat the food out of my pantry, and I'll be good for 6 months. Dude, you'll be dead in 30 days. Guaranteed, right? So another quick method is sterilization, right? Here's the thing about sterilization. It doesn't show up right away. The damage is done quickly, right? You either had the vasectomy or you either took the antigen in the tetanus vaccine in Kenya and it made you sterile right away. That's an immediate response, though the time span of that goes on forever because it doesn't actually kill you. It just makes sure that there's no more of you coming down the pipeline, right? So there's a bunch of different ways to do it. We'll talk about all of them, and we'll wrap up with the plan. With the master plan. I mean, not my words for the plan, their words for the plan. I mean, of course we found it. So we'll expose that, of course. And you can look like this, you could say, well, you know, you sound a little conspiratorial and you sound like, I mean, maybe they want to do this. Maybe they don't. Okay. I mean, the Georgia Guidestones did exist. You can say what you want about them, that they were, you know, I don't know who R.C. Christian was, and you know, who knows, right? Maybe we'll figure it out at some point. It doesn't really matter because one of the things, in fact, the first thing on the 10 commandments of genocide of the Georgia Guidestone was that they wanted the human population to be $500 million or 500 million people in balance with nature is what they said, right? In balance, in harmony with nature. Because, you know, they care about nature so much as they're destroying the planet, right? They're just very concerned about nature. They're conservationists, don't you know? I mean, they want the world for themselves, but they don't care about any of this other stuff. And so whenever you start hearing them talk about, well, listen, we need to keep the population to a certain level to be in balance with nature. Just understand they hate nature. If they liked nature, they would allow the population to naturally be what it is, but they don't. They want to thin it. They want to get rid of people. They want to sterilize large portions of the population so that they don't reproduce. There's nothing natural about that. That's the most unnatural thing you can do. And they do that while claiming to be all about nature. So, I mean, I guess when you're a bloodthirsty depopulationist, getting called a liar on top of it doesn't really hurt your feelings too much, but for the record, they're also lying. And listen, the United Nations agrees with the Georgia Guidestones. You know, they even have a group called the United Nations Population Fund to advance population control, to finance birth control, abortions, and sterilizations in developing countries. They say it. It's not like you have to like get some guy on a hidden Project Veritas camera, some grinder hookup that you've made to get him to spill the beans about whether the United Nations Population Fund is interested in birth control, abortions, and sterilization in developing countries. It's on their fucking website. Right? That's what they want. They talk openly about it. You can go find it there. They'll tell you where they're operating. 144 countries, 4 geographic regions. They give you the regions. They show you where they're operating. This isn't some secret. And you know they're serious because they are very focused on gender equality. You know, while they're depopulating the planet. They're very focused on gender equality. They want every... they. if only we could have some equality here for all the genders. Well, you're sterilizing the women. You're trying to sterilize the men. That worked first. You know, they tried that. They tried to go we'll get to that, but they tried to go towards the men first. And then they realized, oh, these men will fight back. So let's sterilize the women, because in India, they did this especially because they're like, culturally, the women won't fight back. That's the calculation they made. So let's sterilize the women first, because we're assholes and we'll just pick on women because they won't fight back. I mean, so they're clearly not, you know, brave, heroic soldiers that will impose this. I mean, listen, if you're scared of Indian men, you're a bit of a pussy yourself. You know what I mean? Frankly, I'd take my chances with the Indian men. I don't know that I'd want to fight the Indian women, really. But this is what they're talking about, this focus on gender. We're focused on gender equality. Don't you know? We're focused on gender equality in sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East. So basically, the United Nations is like the international eugenics society, right? There was the British Eugenics Society that Sir Julian Huxley ran for a long, long time. And then they had bad PR. And so they changed the name from eugenics to transhumanism because it sounded more scientific-y, I guess. I don't know, spacey, going through the, you know, you're going into those early 50s, the geophysical year, and you're like, hey, listen, we've got a new space future. We've got NASA coming up. Of course, they're run by Nazis, but still, we're gonna go colonize the solar system, right? And so you think of this as like, we had aspirations that we were going to do all kinds of things, not just internationally. We were going to go to the moon, and we were going to go to Mars, and we were going to do all this stuff. And it's like, but first step is that we really need to make sure that there are just fewer people on the planet. So the United Nations Population Fund is deeply involved in that. Now, again, you're not going to find them in America. You're going to find them in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Middle East, right? Where they want to get rid of those people that they consider to be human insects, right? So that's part of the role of the United Nations, one of many. And these international, so one of the things that the United Nations did was they would start these international forced sterilization campaigns. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about, because it happened in a variety of countries. It wasn't accidental, obviously. It was being made to happen. And you have to understand sort of some of the reasons for it too. I mean, part of it is, there's too many people taking up space on my planet, right? There's that mentality when you're these ruling elite families, you just see people beneath you differently, right? I don't know if you've ever seen the picture, the video of the wealthy British ladies that are throwing the pennies in India. They're just like all these little kids, and they're just throwing pennies and watching these kids like dive for them and fight for them and things like that. I mean, they just consider, they might as well be pigeons to these people, right? So part of it is getting rid of the pigeons, the pigeon problem that you have, right? And the other part of it is also, as Kissinger would describe it, to keep the global power structures in place. Part of this is, all right, we are in a good spot where we control a lot of the world. We control definitely business and politics, and we have a real good handle on all of that, and we'd like to maintain that. So, if it's all right with you, we would like to keep this existing power structure in place. And part of the way we do that is to make sure that we don't have, you know, too many people in one area that, you know, if you're in a country that goes from 100 million to 400 million people really quickly, that is a threat to the existing power structure. You might lose control of the situation. You know, things can change when you have that many people. So again, part of this is just a sick mentality. Part of it is also a political calculation too, that if we don't mow the grass, the Israelis call that mowing the lawn when they shoot at the Palestinians randomly and bulldoze their houses and stuff like that. They call it mowing the lawn, right? So you don't want that grass to get too high. You just kind of cut it down a little bit every now and then just to sort of just in Israel, just to show that grass who's boss, right? So that's the mentality of this. You also get into, you get into ethnic cleansing and genocide as well. That's sort of the next step in this. And you could be running a depopulation campaign that's focused on forced sterilization, and that can very easily pivot into something that's out of control politically, like a genocide. And there, you know, you think like, oh, well, that would never happen. Genocides never happen, or they happen so rarely that, you know, that's probably not a realistic issue for us to worry about. Well, hopefully it's not a realistic issue for you to worry about, but the idea that genocides are rare, that is a total fallacy. Armenia, 1915. Ukraine, 1932. They starved those people out. Rwanda, Darfur, Cambodia, China, Bosnia, East Timor. What's happening right now in Gaza? I mean, genocides happen all the time. The genocide in Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge from 75 to 79, 81, 75 to 81, a quarter of the population was murdered. Cambodia had a population of 8 million. 2 million people were killed. East Timor, same thing, a smaller population. I think they had like an 800,000 person population. 200,000 people were killed. When you're killing one out of every four people in your country, that has major ramifications, obviously culturally and psychologically, but financially too. You want to talk about mowing the lawn? That's taking the lawn all the way out, man. You can't. What that does to a country, what it does to a country's soul is impossible to quantify, right? You know, the soul of Cambodia. What a beautiful place, man, with such amazing people and this rich history. And then you let scumbags like Pol Pot come in, who was, of course, given the instructions for how to run his genocide by the White House. Proven. Declassified documents. Kissinger involved. Ted Shackley involved from the CIA, all these people, depopulationists, right? So you start to see, you know, oh, geez, I mean, forced sterilization is the best scenario in this, right? Because once you start getting into ethnic cleansing, and that takes on a variety of forms, right? And it's very random. So you look like one of them, so therefore you're dead. I mean, in Cambodia, it got to the point where it was like, we've killed all the, you know, intellectuals, the doctors, teachers, lawyers, chemists, engineers, all that stuff. Now we don't know who else to kill. So they started killing people wearing glasses because they thought that they looked smarter. And so therefore they must have been intellectually elite, I guess. But that's not really the case. That's just thugs, you know, weaponized kill squads that are out there just looking for victims. And so that stuff happens, right? And, you know, listen, there's also these covert, you know, there's forced sterilization campaigns for sure. Come on over here. We're going to inject you with all this stuff. You know, you don't have a choice. You're an occupied country, right? There's that. Then there's the more covert component of this, which is we're not forcing you to be sterilized. In fact, we're not forcing you for anything. What we're doing is we're saying, oh my God, AIDS and HIV is running rampant in Africa. You might want to take this vaccine to help prevent, you know, make sure that we limit the spread of HIV here. You might want to take this vaccine. And in that vaccine are antigens that will depopulate you or will sterilize you. So again, you can be forced into it. You can be tricked into it. You can be coerced into it. You can be bought in. We'll get to that because we're going to talk about, we're going to wrap this up with the Kissinger memo, the 1974 National Security Council Memorandum 200 that was written on December 10th, 1974, in which Kissinger laid out his plan. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the role of USAID and as the driving force in these forced sterilization campaigns, and that Congress put them in charge of this back in 1966. and that they told them that you can make, we'll give you this money for foreign aid. We'll call it, you know, USAID. Well, hey, listen, it's aid from the US, right? You know, it's United States Agency for International Development is the acronym, of course, but it spells out aid. And if it spells out aid, it must be free money, right? It must be aid that's coming from the US. It says it in the name, USAID, right? We're going to give you foreign aid. Well, they are going to give you foreign aid, but it's contingent on sterilization, and that's kind of a problem. Let's talk about some of the groups involved in this, what we would call the population question, right? All of the usual devils are there, right? As you would expect, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Department of Defense, the National Security Council, USAID, as I just mentioned, and the State Department, all working together on this. This is not a one or the other situation. This is a coordinated effort. Kissinger assembled this team in 1974. That was half a century ago, right? So what does it look like now, right? What does this group look like now? Because 50 years ago, the CIA, the DOD, the NSC, USAID, and the State Department, that was basically who was running the government, right? That, essentially, right? Besides the shadow government that's sort of operating in behind the scenes, but the outward face of government would most definitely be these five groups right here. But what if you were taking a look at it now? What would you add? I mean, I wouldn't take any of those five groups out of the population question discussion. I'm just saying we might need to add some to it, right? Because things have changed. Technology has changed. Concept's still roughly the same. Thin the herd, depopulate as much as you can, form a world government with the leftovers. Make sure to target the LDCs, the lesser developed countries, as Kissinger described them. Make sure you get their resources. Make sure you go in there and get control of the government through dangling the carrot of aid over their head, but tell them, you know, this aid is contingent on some stuff. I mean, we can't just give you free money for nothing, man. I mean, you're going to have to put up something on your end here. And it's like, well, what is it? What do you need? It was like, well, listen, you know, your population is growing out of control. You're like weeds over there. What we need you to do is we need you to get a handle on that. If you can get a handle on that, in fact, you don't even have to get a handle. You, the country, you don't have to get a handle on it. We'll send our people in. They'll take care of it. In fact, it's even better for you because then you just say, well, I'm the government of this obscure nation you've never heard of. Well, I'm not doing this to my people. Well, you're allowing other people to come in and do it. So how would you grow this group, right? How would you expand this CIA, Department of Defense, National Security Council, USAID, State Department blob? Well, I'll tell you who I would add. I mean, I'm not trying to give these people any ideas, but it's not like they don't know these groups exist either. And my assumption, and it is an assumption, I can't prove it, but my assumption is that a lot of these groups are already working on the depopulation issue. So who would I add to the list if I were the Rockefellers right now taking a look at this saying we need to bring our depopulation game up to the 21st century? And it's, hell, it's 2024. You know, we can't just be fucking around like we were in the 70s. I mean, it's time to get serious about this depopulation. It's time to bring in some groups. Well, first on my list would be DARPA. I mean, you know, DARPA is building things right now that the Terminator movies would love to copy. You know, I mean, they're light years ahead of where we think they are. You know, of course, you know, they've got some projects out there. They would be extremely diabolical when it came to depopulation. I mean, you would, you know, the idea of drones spraying sterilants on people from the air where people don't see, you know, chemtrails, you know, like chemtrails, you know, like if they were to put stuff in, oh, I don't know, airplanes and fly all over the place and spray it on people, you know, that would be terrible, you know, like chemtrails, which are real. For all of you people, they're going, oh, you conspiracy theorists with your ideas of chemtrails. Hey, listen, man. I get it. We like to talk about crazy stuff. No doubt about it. And when you're early, you sound crazy, but you can find John Brennan on camera talking about the CIA's atmospheric aerosol injection program. They're talking about chemtrails. It's not conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy analysis. DARPA would be on that list. Obviously, the World Health Organization would be on that list. And I would suggest that they are already on the list. I think that they're probably already working with this group on the population. In fact, I know they are. We're going to get to that. Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Again, they've been busted killing people in India with their polio vaccines. They've been busted giving, they gave 400, it was a very specific number, and I'll never forget it. 496,000 children have polio in India, the type of polio where your legs don't work and now you're forced to like sit on the sidewalk and beg for money. 500,000 kids have polio, not because the polio fairy came and gave it to them or they just got unlucky and randomly got it. They got it because they took the polio vaccine that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Gavi was giving out. And that's why Gavi was banned from India, because they gave 500,000 kids polio and then thousands of other kids just dropped dead. And then the Gates Foundation did what they legally needed to do in India. The bare minimum to pay out for the dead kids is $1,000 US per dead kid to the families to compensate them. So sorry, our vaccine killed your kid. Here's $1,000. Now in India, that probably goes a long way, but what is the life of your child worth? I mean, it's immeasurable. The idea that they're just going to go Rumsfeld on them, go, oh, you know, mistakes were made. Here's a grand. Here's the thing. It wasn't a mistake, right? The mistake was them getting caught doing it. There's no mistake. They want these kids sick. They want these people dead. They want them out of the way. That's what they do. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, most definitely involved. How about the World Economic Forum? Well, we know they're involved because they've said that their stated goal is the fourth industrial revolution, which is transhumanism. And we know from our understanding of history that transhumanism is the new rebranding of eugenics, and eugenics is depopulation. So the World Economic Forum is most definitely involved. The United Nations and their subsidiaries, the World Health Organization and the World Bank, for sure, definitely involved in this. Here's the wild card one. Here's the one that you don't probably think is out there, you know, putting on the rubber gloves and injecting people, but I guarantee you they have a say in this, and that is the Bank of International Settlements, the central bank of central banks, right? They're going to be involved in this in some way, shape, or form. So those are like multinational organizations, NGOs, and things like that. But what about the corporations that are involved? So this first time around, when Kissinger was doing this in the 70s, this was purely government. This was purely American-centric government and using it as America's foreign policy. But nowadays, these corporations are international in scope. And they might be based in America, but they have a much different agenda. I would most definitely expect a couple of the big tech players to be involved in the depopulation agenda. Now, of course, since I mentioned Gates Foundation, Microsoft, of course, right? Microsoft, not just from a like, oh, we're making software standpoint, but Microsoft with regard to their investments in artificial intelligence, OpenAI, things like that, their backing of Sam Altman and the direction that he's going right there. When you start talking about artificial intelligence and you have ties to the World Economic Forum and you start talking about we're all going to live in a 15-minute city, I mean, I can read through that the lines between that and find that it's just code words for depopulation, of course. So I think Microsoft would definitely be involved in something like this. I think Palantir, Peter Thiel and Alex Karp's company, would be involved in something like this. They manage a ton of information for the DOD. I mean, they get 97% of their revenue comes from the Pentagon and connected U.S. State Department agencies. So they get almost all of their money from the government. They're a private version of a government, right? They're the where the government throws their hands up and goes, it wasn't us, it was this other group over here. We didn't do this with your data. We're not selling this software to the Israelis so that they can use it to target people in Rafah. We would never do that. I mean, Palantir might do that. Yeah, of course. But we, the government, we'd never do that. I think Google would be involved in this. You know, they wouldn't have been involved in it back when their motto was don't be evil, right? Like, our motto is don't be evil. Is it still don't be evil? No, it's not, actually, as a matter of fact. I mean, it was a corny, stupid slogan to begin with. But the fact that you guys removed it is really suspicious to me. Whatever, I'm just saying. And last but not least on this list, I think Pfizer would be involved. I think Pfizer's already involved. Okay, again, so some of these corporations that are getting involved in this depopulation question, you know, they're not your friend. They're not your friend. You can buy their stock, you know, through your Charles Schwab account. But should you? I mean, ideologically, I could never own Microsoft, Pfizer, Google, or Palantir stock. I just couldn't do it. Even if I was like, well, I know they're going to go up. Well, yeah, I do know they're going to go up. I can't do it. Cannot do that. Will not do that. That conflicts with my soul to in any way, shape, or form, you know. And listen, I have a Gmail account, and so I am guilty of that. You know what I mean? I have Google, you know, you have Google. To the extent that I can get away from that stuff, I try to, but I will not buy their stock. Moving on. When we talk about the population question and this sterilization, and I mentioned that it comes in a variety of forms and fashions, like you can overtly do it, you can covertly do it, but then there's this other way of selling it. You can actually sell sterilization, the sterilization program to the public if you know how to do it the right way, right? I feel like the trans sales pitch is depopulation. Both of them. The transgender sales pitch and the transhuman sales pitch. They're both covert sterilization programs. Let's start with the gender component. Play the long game, right? I'm not saying that these people in an effort to depopulate the planet have thought that the best way to do it is to turn everybody trans and gay. I'm not saying that that's the best way to do it. I'm just saying it's one of the ways to do it. It might be, you know, certainly a lot slower than wars and famines and things like that. If you really want to ramp things up, you certainly wouldn't prioritize, let's turn everybody gender neutral and then in 50 years, there'll be less people. True. That's a long-term game. Now, again, when you're a depopulationist like these people are, and you're talking about sterilization programs, you're going to look at all of your options, and you're probably going to, start on all of them, right? I mean, why wouldn't you do the trans agenda as well? Think about this. It is a covert sterilization program. Those trans people are not reproducing. When you take the surgery, you take when you're doing the male to female transition surgery, you take a drug called Lupron. Lupron is chemical castration drug. That's what they give pedophiles when they are in prison and they're ordered to be chemically castrated so that they can never rape kids again and all that stuff. They give them Lupron. That's the drug they give. That's what they use so that they can't do it, right? Forced sterilization of disgusting pedophiles in prison, Lupron. Optional transition surgery. What do you get? Lupron as well. So it's a forced sterilant. You're sterilizing people, right? Now, under the guise of being stunning and brave, of course, you know, all this stuff. Oh, I'm just expressing my gender identity. No, you're a fucking loser. You have no friends. Nobody wants to hang out with you. That's your problem. You're not transgender. You're just a nerd. You're just a dipshit. You're just a kid with no friends. That's fine. Things are going to change. Life is long, okay? Especially if you make the wrong decisions, like chopping your dick off and taking Lupron. Life is really long. And you know what it is on top of that? It's filled with suicide. The suicide rate for the people in the trans community is astronomical, okay? So you're automatically sterilizing yourself. You're probably going to kill yourself as well. but you're definitely not going to reproduce. As George Carlin likes to describe that, an evolutionary cul-de-sac. That's where you are. It's the end of the road for your lineage. Mental disorders, dependent on the state. See, that's another component of this too, is that the state needs to remain relevant. And one of the ways in which it remains relevant is it needs a bunch of people that need it. And somebody that is scrambled their brain, trying to become another butterfly gender or whatever, those people are broken and they're broken forever. You don't ever get fixed from this. There's no happy transition stories. There just aren't. It's all a matter of degree of like how shitty your life is now. Okay. So, that's part of this. That's, hey, what if we convince the people to sterilize themselves? Oh, they'd never do that. Let me make a call to Tavistock. Let me see if we can get on that. What about the transhuman sales pitch as a form of depopulation sterilization, right? Take the brain chip, take the upgrade. What about mRNA technology inside your body? How many people out there have it already? Well, depending on which COVID vaccines you took, if you took them, if you fell into that trap or were forced into it, if you were forced into it, you have my sympathy. But what about the mRNA technology that's in your body? It's being used to reprogram your body. What could that do? Could it reprogram your body to become sterile? I don't know. I'll tell you what I do know. The World Economic Forum that is focused on transhumanism, which is eugenics, is extremely interested in you taking the mRNA technology. So if that tells you anything, is the mRNA technology part of a sterilization program? Maybe. All I know is that the groups that are interested in depopulation desperately want you to inject yourself with it. So you can take that and sort of figure it out. They want you on a vaccine subscription plan too, right? They don't just want you to take it today. They want you to take it every flu season. We've always taken COVID vaccines every flu season. We've always injected ourselves with mRNA technology, right? So, and by the way, the guy who's one of the mouthpieces for the World Economic Forum, Harari, he says that human beings have no souls. So again, when the guy who thinks you have no soul is interested in injecting you with something, I don't know, maybe hold out. Maybe don't do it. Let's talk a little bit about the Kenyan vaccine sterilization program. Man, this one will infuriate you. And it's 100% provable to, not that I'm making this other stuff up either, but this is provable. Go look at it. Go take a look and, guess who got busted putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccine? Who do you think that was? Well, who it was the World Health Organization and UNICEF. The United Nations, Children's Education Fund, because, they care so much about children as they're making sure that there aren't any more of them in Kenya, right? So what they did was they forced millions of young Kenyan girls to take a tetanus vaccine because you're going to get, otherwise you'll get tetanus and you'll maybe die. And they scared everybody into it. And this is all part of, the plan, right? Scare everybody. But what they didn't tell these girls was that they added something called HCG, an antigen, to the vaccines. And they were stone cold busted. They got busted for it. And HCG antigen is a sterilant. Anyone that took that vaccine with HCG antigens in it, any young girl was sterilized because of that. It's a proven fertility regulating vaccine. Proven. Scientists came in and said, this isn't supposed to be in here, and it's in here, and you were giving it to the kids. Now, the World Health Organization said, no, we weren't. No. But they finally later admitted that they were doing it, and then they confessed that they'd been doing it for a decade. So this is what the American government set up to do with the Kissinger memo. Again, I said we're going to we'll end with the Kissinger memo, but that was what the government, the American government said. They said to these Kenya actually isn't on the list, but what they said to these other countries was, we'll give you this money. We'll give you this money from USAID, but you got to get on board with our fertility reduction programs, right? And here's the deal. We're not going to tell anyone we're doing it. We'll make sure that you, the people at the top who approve this, get some money, but we'll also provide you with cover, political cover, so that nobody like comes and burns your mansion down. We'll say that it wasn't you that did it. It was these NGOs that we sent in. You know, it wasn't even us, the American government. It wasn't you, the Kenyan government. I mean, how would you have known, right? I mean, what we did is we sent in these other groups, World Health Organization, you know, UNICEF, whatever. And they'll be the bad guys, right? So if anyone ever gets busted for this stuff, you can say you didn't do it. And I can say I didn't do it. And we'll pin it on them, on the NGOs. We'll say, well, oh my God, I can't believe you guys were putting sterilizers. How dare you? That was so awful of you. Wink, wink. Good job. Perfect. Right on. You kept the president of Kenya from getting dragged through the streets by the back of a car or something. You know what I mean? You deflected enough criticism onto yourself and away from the people that were also involved. And that's how they said it. That's how they sold it. And that's how they sold it. You know, we'll put your money to use these cutouts, and we'll put this money to good use. We'll send it over to the World Health Organization and let them figure it out, right? So because it provides a layer of protection for the politicians in both countries. And who doesn't want that? If you're a politician, your entire life is a calculation on like what will provide me political cover and what won't, you know, what will expose me. So they got a third of the girls in Puerto Rico in 1975. With sterilants as well. Interesting. 1975, huh? When did the Kissinger memo come out? December 10th, 1974. Boy, they were ready to go right after that, the very next year. We'll get to that. Do you remember Obama's, God, I don't even remember what his science czar. I think he was the science czar. You remember when Obama thought he was like a fucking Russian or something and he was naming everybody czars and whatnot? John P. Holdren. You remember that? Have you heard that name? This guy should be institutionalized for everybody's benefit, but especially his own. He is a crazed lunatic depopulationist. He thinks we need compulsory sterilization of the pores. I mean, he definitely thinks that. And Obama brought him in like, I want to say like 2010 or 2011, sometime like that. But this dude's been around since like 1977. He wrote a book. He's been on the scene pushing this for a long, long time. He was basically tasked with, see, part of this is like the Kissinger memo comes out in 74 and end of 74. The depopulation swing starts in 75, 76. So there's this push to start the process covertly, of course, but simultaneous to that, there's a public relations push as well. That's when you start to get Paul Ehrlich with the population bomb. You get John P. Holdren. You get these people starting to come out and go, well, actually, we need to really thin the herd. And actually, we're going to be living on a planet with, 100 billion people before too long. And everybody, and it's going to be a dystopian hellscape. And everybody's going to be fighting each other for resources like Mad Max. And we definitely don't want to do that. So in order to make sure that we end all this suffering, we need to kill everybody. Right. We need to make sure that we don't have this futuristic scenario where there's all this suffering. And in order to do that, we're going to make everybody suffer by murdering them immediately. Right. That's John Holdren's idea. That's what he wants to do. So his role in this was trying to convince the general public that there were just too many people on the planet. And that the ones that are currently here are all going to die unless we do something. We definitely have to make sure that nobody else comes onto this planet, right? No new generations. But we also are going to have to think very carefully about which one of your neighbors you're going to have to kill, right? So he's a Malthusian lunatic of the highest order. Always has been. Read his work. They should have... let Uncle Ted out of jail and put John Holdren in prison instead. That guy was far more dangerous than somebody that's sending packages and writing books about how technology is going to kill us. By the way, Uncle Ted was right. By the Unabomber's manifesto. And see, John P. Holdren was also pushing basically the American sterilization program as well. I mean, we know what they were doing covertly in the Third World, but what we don't know, or what we didn't really understand so much until maybe recently, was that there was an American sterilization program happening inside the United States as well. And it has a brand name, a name that you would probably recognize. It's called Planned Parenthood, right? And Planned Parenthood, 80% of Planned Parenthood locations are in socioeconomically disadvantaged areas, meaning the poor parts of town. Isn't that fun? You remember going to the Planned Parenthood on Rodeo Drive? Oh, wait, no, never mind. There wasn't one, right? They're not thinning the herd in Beverly Hills. They're thinning the herd in Compton, right? They most definitely are. You want to get an abortion? You want to get birth control? We're looking out for women's reproductive rights. Oh, are you? Why were you why was Bill Gates' dad the board of director? Why was it started by Margaret Sanger, who said we have to do something about our black problem in this country? Really, if you're just so concerned with women's reproductive rights, how come your founder was a known racist that wanted to get rid of the Negro problem? Okay. And then magically all of a sudden these Planned Parenthoods start showing up in places that are predominantly black. I'm sure that's a giant coincidence though, right? Moving on. Again, it wasn't just Kenya. And of course, John Holdren wasn't just America either. What they did in India was diabolical, right? 1975 to 1977. 1975, you say? Really interesting. 1 year right after the Kissinger memo, yeah. They came in hard with some incentives. And this is, of course, part of this program. The men, at first, this is where they first targeted the men. I mentioned that they said, we targeted the men, and then they put up a fight and said, then we targeted the women because they won't fight because they're cowards. These people are cowards, not the women. So they started with the men in India, and they said, we'll give you land, housing, money, or loans. Those were the things those were the carrots that they dangled, right? And they would give these people, some of the stuff. They'd maybe give them a little bit of, a stipend, like give them some money, or they'd arrange for loans for them, or groups that would come together and they would arrange for loans for the groups. And then those groups would go help the sterilization campaigns, right? But you know what? Sometimes it wasn't voluntary. Sometimes the guys were dragged kicking and screaming to it because there was a bounty on them, right? You got paid per person that was getting sterilized. It's like, that guy over there is worth $100 to me, right? If I can go get him sterilized, he's going to get $100. If I can drag him to the place and get him sterilized, maybe I get the $100. You know what I mean? So some of it wasn't voluntary. And it was, regardless of whether it was, whether they were literally kidnapping you off the streets, it was always coerced in some way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? Withholding food rations and things like that, withholding money, withholding housing, whatever it was, it was a pay for sterilization program. And USAID most definitely dangled that carrot over the heads of all these people, right? And by 2015, which is pretty recently, India is now running at 39% of all women in India are sterilized. Think about that. Yeah. It's terrible. What they had is they had sterilization camps. They would put poor women, lower class, right, to them, the caste system, India, right? Lower class women were put through these sterilization camps, right? They just were put through it and forcibly sterilized and dealt with that way. So it was like carrot or the stick, right? Carrot, land, housing, money, loans, whatever. Stick, you're poor. We're rounding you up. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going in these camps. You can get out of the camp once we sterilize you, or maybe not. What about this? What about genetically modified food as a form of sterilization? Because it's definitely having problems with the human body, GMO foods. We see the results of that. We've seen the results of that with mice. Their fertility rates were cut drastically. So genetically modified food as a way of thinning the herd is definitely on the table. What about COVID booster shots to thin the herd? We talked about that in the past. You know, it's just as easy to put the HCG antigen in a tetanus vaccine as it is a COVID vaccine, I would imagine. Maybe there's some technological vaccination reason why you can't blend the two together. I don't know. I don't work for Pfizer, but my assumption is that they could probably figure a way out, you know, to do that. Or maybe the mRNA technology just does it itself. Who knows? But when you're, again, forcibly sterilizing people, then you run the risk of not knowing what's in the shot that's being forcibly injected into you. And listen, if it's being forcibly injected into you, by definition, it's not good, right? So who knows, right? All right. I mentioned that we would wrap up with the National Security Study Memorandum 200. Let's do it. December 10th, 1974, Henry Kissinger, one of the biggest pieces of shit in the world. God, I hope I'm not a heaven or hell type of guy, but if there is a hell, I have to believe Henry Kissinger is there wearing gasoline soaked underwear. I hope, they call this memo the Kissinger Report. I mean, you could call it Mein Kampf if you wanted to. It'd probably be just about the same thing. He talks, very focused on LDCs, lesser developed countries. And that is, they talk about his plan. He said, listen, the United States policy, let me read, I'll get to the quote later, but the United States policy should be that of depopulation, right? That is what they said. They said, and then we're going to go about it in a variety of ways. Now, again, this is a memo that was classified that became later unclassified. And now you read it 50 years after the fact and you go, holy shit, now I understand why it was classified. Henry Kissinger never thought you would see this. I mean, he didn't, you know, he's supposed to be the statesman, right? Oh, I'm just out here, you know, winning the Nobel Peace Prize in 1973 while bombing the shit out of Southeast Asia. I mean, the idea, Henry Kissinger, we've done plenty of shows on him. Awful human being. But he wrote this in the memo, and you can read it with your own eyeballs. It's crazy. And they talk about withholding food. They talk about withholding aid. And they talk about incentivizing compliance. That if these countries don't get on board with this, we will forcibly do it. That we were going to start by the incentive structure where we're talking about food and aid and all this stuff, and then gradually move to a position where if they are not doing exactly what we want them to do, we stop with the food. We turn it off, right? And so disincentivize through low priority for housing too, right? So what they'll say is, if you don't take these shots, if you don't agree to this forced sterilization campaign, or you don't get on board with the birth control programs, what we're going to do is we're going to give you low priority for housing. Right. So they went in and they promised all these people, we're going to take care of your housing, which is a huge deal in these countries. We'll get to the list in a second, but it's a huge deal, right? But if you don't take it, they'll put you at the bottom of the list. So again, that's coercion. Are they forcing people to do it? Well, not at that point. It was still optional, but it didn't stay optional. They spent $140 million in 1975 alone. $140 million. $1975 dollars, which is actually worth quite a bit, right? But that was the first year of the program. Let's just say it's worth double what it is now. I mean, I think it's worth more than that. Let's just say it's worth $300 million, right? It's roughly $1 million a day for depopulation in the third world. What could you do with that? You could get a lot done. And they detailed it, right? the detail of the, here's the plan. Here's the sterilization plan. This is it. And here are the countries. And we've done this. We've talked about this on the Kissinger show before. But here are the countries. They don't want you to speculate. They don't want you to go, well, you know, describe like third world countries. What does that mean? Where are we starting? Well, I'll tell you where we're starting. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, Turkey, Nigeria, Egypt, Ethiopia, Mexico, Colombia, Brazil. That's it. Those 13 countries were targeted for mass murder and sterilization by the United States government. It was government policy towards the third world. American business interests could struggle from political instability if the population explodes in these countries, right? We're trying to manage these countries, right? And we can't have India having 2 billion people there. Holy shit, we'll never get anything done. It'll be madness. Bangladesh, same thing. Like there's only so many sweatshops we need to create in Bangladesh to make these shirts that you're wearing, your dress shirts. Short of that, we've just got a bunch of people mulling around. We can't have that. Bangladesh is on the list. Pakistan's on the list. Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, is on the list. You know, some of these are our allies. Like a lot of them are. Some of them are just, Mexico is our neighbor. How did we go from a depopulation agenda with Mexico to then 50 years later, open borders? Right? Crazy. But they look at it like this. We need to manage the farm animals in order to manage the resources. And this is a resource game, right? These countries have things that the United States covets, like raw materials, labor. There's something there that the U.S. needs and wants. And listen, they're willing to pay these countries to sterilize themselves, but if they won't take the money, then they'll do it covertly. They just will. And they have. And they'll do it again. And they're doing it now. Right? Not even on this list of 13 countries. USAID forcibly sterilized 300,000 women in Peru. And they're not even on this list of 13 countries. So if that's what they're doing for the groups that are in the second tier in terms of priority, what are they doing? What are they doing in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, South Asia, that has a huge population problem? What exactly was in those COVID-19 vaccines that was they were rushed to Africa, South America, Southeast Asia, South Asia? Remember that? Remember, we have to prioritize the countries in Africa. You have like Al Gore and Albert Bourla and all these guys talking about, oh, we need to prioritize. And you're like, dude, if this was a real pandemic, you'd be prioritizing yourself. The fact that you're prioritizing Africa for anything tells me exactly what I need to know, right? Let's wrap up with this. Okay. This is from Henry Kissinger himself. This is from the National Security Memorandum 200. And it is 100% real, and it is 100% awful. Here you go. Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world, because the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals abroad, especially from less developed countries. Henry Kissinger. They'll tell you the plan. All you have to do is listen. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can connect with me through the website, macroaggressions.io. The audiobook. Oh my God, the audiobook. And have you rated the show? I appreciate it. Thank you so much, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon. We'll be right back.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.